I'm very, very happy that you've all come to this. I think it will be the first of the St. James Westminster series of concerts that we're hoping to hold in this coming season. And I'm very happy that you all showed up. I can tell you that I've been listening to the singers warm up, and we are going to have a delightful and very exciting afternoon. I should mention that we do have a membership in the London Opera Guild, and if you would like to join, Alice Kirk, our membership secretary, would be very happy to receive your $30. And $30 is not a great deal of money these days, but it does cover incidental expenses in running the Guild. For those of you who may not know much about the Guild, we have two major projects. One is to support voice students in opera at the Faculty of Music at the University of Western Ontario through our scholarships, 5 scholarships each year, $500 each, and to support them by staging productions like this one, where the singers are all graduates of the Faculty of Music and are, in most cases, just beginning a career. The other thing that the Guild does is it runs an opera bus to Canadian Opera Company productions on Sunday matinees. And you can get the whole list in the COC calendar. We've already had the buses lined up for next year. So feel free to get your tickets from the Canadian Opera Company and be sure to take into consideration the opera bus. It's $55 at the moment for return to Toronto to the Opera House. We leave here on Sunday morning at 9:15. We usually get there about 11:30, 11:45. The opera is at 2, and the bus is waiting outside when we get out. So it's a very handy way of getting to the opera, and it's incidentally much cheaper these days than taking your car and parking underneath the opera house. Alice, do you have anything you'd like to add to that? All right. Well, students get to the opera, I think, if I remember correctly, for $10 return. We like to have students go to the opera. And you can get tickets to the opera for relatively little money, pretty good tickets too. And you can get to Toronto and back for $10. So I invite students everywhere to take advantage. And with this in mind, I would like you all to help me welcome the performers this afternoon. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to an afternoon Opera Guild concert. Thank you all so much for coming. We're really pleased to present a variety of selections to you today, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about all of them so that you can hopefully enjoy them more fully. This next selection is from Mozart's 1790 opera, Così fan tutte. It was only performed about 5 times in his lifetime, and only a handful of times over the next 150 years. The subject matter was not too offensive for Viennese audiences of his time, but it was quickly deemed to be risque, vulgar, and even immoral for audiences of the 19th and early 20th centuries. Consequently, it was rarely performed, and when it was usually in a vulgarized version. This is a new word I learned, so I wanted to share it with you. Vulgarized. This name comes from the brother and sister team of Thomas and Henrietta Bodler, who were known for publishing The Family Shakespeare, a sanitized version of Shakespeare's plays deemed appropriate for Victorian women and children. As a worldly 21st century audience, we may be able to handle the plot, but Margie's kids are here. Suffice it to say, the two officers, Ferrando and Guglielmo, are acting on a bet from Don Alfonso that they can get their fiancés, the sisters Fiordalici and Dorabella, to behave in a certain way if they trick them into thinking that the men are going off to war. At the end of the first scene, the sisters, played here by Margie and Carmen, tearfully bid goodbye as their fiancés depart on a ship. The ladies and Alfonso, played by Chad, wish for gentle winds, calm waves, and that all the elements cooperate to ensure the safety of their beloveds. Because he was an itinerant magician and fortune teller, He was frequently denounced by sacred and secular authorities as being in league with the devil. He allegedly died in an explosion caused by an alchemical experiment gone wrong. The state of his body after the explosion led to rumors that he had been claimed by the devil. The legend grew over time and spawned plays, novels, poems, songs, and operas, all with their own variations of the theme of selling one's soul to the devil in exchange for youth, love, or knowledge, but eventually paying the price. In Gounod's 1859 opera, the elderly scholar Faust bemoans the fact that he has spent his life in pursuit of knowledge but has nothing to show for it. He has no family or friends and has made no great discoveries. In this despondent state, he is ripe picking for Mephistopheles, who shows up to make a deal with him. Mephistopheles will serve him on earth, if Faust will serve in hell at the end of the bargain. Faust is then transformed into a handsome young gentleman and falls in love with Marguerite, whom Mephistopheles ensorcels into reciprocating Faust's affections. In this aria, Faust, played by James, is outside Marguerite's home, where he admires the house as a symbol of his beloved's beauty and purity.
Thank you.
The idea for the opera of Hansel and Gretel was actually proposed to Engelbert Humperdinck by his sister Adelaide, who brought in several poems she had written for her children based on the Grimm fairy tale, asking him to set them to music. Eventually, the songs and sketches got fleshed out into a full-scale opera, which was first performed in Weimar in December 1893, conducted by Richard Strauss. This was followed by a Hamburg performance in 1894, conducted by Gustav Mahler. It quickly became popular around the world. Because it was first performed at Christmas time, it has become associated with Christmas and is often performed around that time. In 1954, it was adapted to a film version with stop-motion puppets, and the voice of the witch was provided by Anna Russell. If you haven't seen her version of The Ring Cycle, you should. More recently, a 1998 version was produced for television by Maurice Sendak of Where the Wild Things Are fame. Upcoming, we can look forward to Western Opera's production of it next season, with performances November 17th and 18th at 7:30, and November 19th and 20th at 2 o'clock. Mark your calendars. In this tale, the siblings Hansel and Gretel have been sent into the woods to forage for food. They get lost, it gets dark, they fall asleep, and when they wake up, they find a wondrous house made of candy beside them. When they start to nibble on it, they are captured by the witch who owns the house. She likes to capture children and bake them into gingerbread. In this aria, the witch gleefully tells Gretchen that soon she too will be a gingerbread boy, and then describes her life as a witch, ending by summoning her broom. For the Harry Potter fans in the audience, she does not say actual firebolt because it's in German. She says, Besen, Feuer. Began this afternoon by worrying that Pussy Fanchote needed Baudelaireizing, And then we promptly moved on to Devil Deals and Witches. It's the Hollywood influence. We haven't even gotten to Carmen yet. The first back to Devil Deals with Der Freischütz, generally considered to be the first German romantic opera, the plot of this 1821 opera revolves around a marksmanship competition. Max aims to prove that he is worthy to marry Agata, and Caspar hopes to get revenge on Max, Agata, who refused him, and Agata's father, in one fell swoop by convincing Max to sell his soul to Samuel, the Black Huntsman, in exchange for magic bullets. What Caspar doesn't tell Max is that he has already sold his soul to Samuel, and it's due the next day. He hopes to make a new deal to save himself by giving Max to Samuel. In his aria, Schweig, Caspar, played by Jack, pats himself on the back for having set in motion a plan to achieve his revenge. In the same moment that Max has taken part in this bargain, a picture of one of Agata's ancestors falls on her at her home and frightens her. Her young cousin Enshin tries to cheer her up by teasing the picture in the duet Schellen-Hulfest. The two develop their different worldviews. Enshin wants to laugh and play her way through life, while Agata cannot stop worrying about those she loves. To try to cheer Agata up further, Enshin then sings the aria Kommt ein schlanker Bursche geben, in which she imagines a joyful flirtation. A girl sees a cute boy. Naturally, they don't look at each other directly, or they would blush. But soon they overcome their shyness, confess that they are beautiful and in love, and immediately are engaged. Very busy. So these are three selections from Der Freischütz, with Chad as Caspar, Bethany as Enshin, and Margie as Agata.
Triumph, triumph, die Nacht gelingt. Triumph, triumph. not again.
Oh!
Thank you.
Bizet's 1875 opera, Carmen, is probably his best-known work, and one of the best-loved operas in the canon. The free-spirited Carmen, played by Carmen, and the soldier Don Jose, played by James, fall in love and have a brief relationship. However, when Carmen has had enough and moves on to a different relationship with the bullfighter Escanillo, Don Jose is unable to cope with the end of their relationship. He corners Carmen outside of the bullfighting arena and demands that she return to him. Carmen, however, values her freedom enough that she would rather die than be tied down. Don Jose decides that since he cannot live without her, she also cannot live without him. Although Bizet decided to end his opera in this manner, we thought it would be unfortunate for a Sunday afternoon. So, somewhat anachronistically in the chronology of the opera, we will follow the final duet with the quintet from Act Two. Carmen and her friends Frasquita and Mercedes are joined by the smugglers Dan Cairo and Renacado, who are hoping to dispose of some contraband. Frasquita and Mercedes are keen to help, but Carmen declines to accompany them. The reason? She's in love. Here we have the final duet, followed by the quintet from Carmen.
Je suis Thank you.
before they leave the stage, these things don't just happen. The person who produced and directed this is Chad Lowes. And the 105-piece orchestra, as well as this very humorous presenter, is Sarah Bowker. And all I can say is if the Faculty of Music continues to turn out masters and doctoral students and graduates like this, we're in really great shape in this town. And I thank all of the singers, the collaborative pianist, the producer and director, for a fantastic afternoon of operatic ensemble and solo singing. Thank you very much. Say to you that if you have felt impelled to increase the donation that you made, feel free to do that. This money all goes toward the support of our scholarship fund. And I'm very, very pleased that so many of you showed out and that you have obviously enjoyed this concert. Hope to see you next time.